verses 1 through, I think, right around 20 or so, 19. And I'm really excited about the message today. You know, I'm always happy to bring a message, but I'm very excited about today's message because I feel that the Lord's going to do great breakthrough in our lives, in all of our lives. And the reason being is because last Monday I was just kind of asking the Holy Spirit, so what do you want me to teach on? And I mean, I like being transparent and honest. The last few Sundays have been very difficult for me. I've had the word, but I just have not, I felt like, you know, I was like in that supernatural zone to deliver it. And I know people were blessed by what was communicated, and the Holy Spirit did help me, but I'm always like to really bring like a rhema, something fresh, something that we really need for this day, and something that activates us fully into the kingdom of God. So we're not just, you know, bystanders watching the parade go by. We're actually in the parade, or we're in the game, and we're participating, and our position is vital to the game, and we realize that we were called for a purpose. And today I believe that what the Lord wants to speak to us is, because when I asked the Holy Spirit what he wanted me to share about, he spoke to me awakening. And I immediately, you know, coined the phrase in my heart, the great awakening. Now, I know that there has been a great awakening. There's been a couple great awakenings where literally nations have come out of a state of spiritual apathy and have become on fire for God. And like the first one, I think, was the early 18th century or the early 1700s and in the United States, and I think it affected some parts of the world, and then there was another one, I think, in the mid-1800s. And we've had, you know, awakenings, you know, if you want to call our revivals throughout the 20th century, the 1900s, awakenings. But I believe that we're coming into a new awakening. And it's like, okay, how many awakenings can you have? Well, there's a difference of knowing just truths from the Word. And I believe that's what those awakenings have done. They've revived us to the truths that we had forgotten, that maybe had become lost in the church because of, you know, our form and traditions and our styles and just basically being, you know, people. How many know that people can mess up God's plan pretty easily? We can. We can try to, you know, interject our mind, our thoughts, our intentions, and we end up messing what God wants to do instead of being led by the Spirit and then just doing what the Spirit of God tells us to do. So in this story today, I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to give us some revelation and some, and I believe there's some, like, some key points where you're going to hear it and, like, you're going to say, oh, like, pop in your spirit as I was reading this and realize what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And of course, he usually always surprises me, even every time I preach. So let's read through this, and then I'll pray, and then we'll see what happens. Acts 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." So he did, and he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guards posts, They came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. They went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. I bet that's the case. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. And Herod didn't live much longer himself. Just, by the way, if you keep reading. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is alive. Lord, and I say that a lot, but Lord, it's the truth. God, that your word is fresh and new to us all the time as we read it. If our hearts are full of faith and looking to you, God, for revelation and understanding. And I thank you, Lord, that this today is not going to be just a story, but God, that you're going to reveal truths to us, Lord, of what you want to do in us as a people. Lord, you're going to open our eyes, God, to see, Lord, that we are in a day, Lord, of awakening. God, we're in a day, Lord, where you're grabbing us, some of us, by the face and saying, "My son, I have plans for you. My daughter, I have plans for you." And you're causing us to come out of our shell. You're causing us, Lord, to come out of ways of apathy and arrogance and pride and greed, Lord. And you're moving us, God, into a heart after Christ and a heart like Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray, God, that everything that you want to do in this word today, God, you would let it come to pass. That there would be no ear, God, that you plan to hear that would be able to stop your word from going into their heart today. Let us receive, Lord, your word with gladness, God, and let us be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this is now about that time the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. This was when the church was starting to grow and get quite big. This is actually after Cornelius was baptized with the Spirit and his family. And so, you know, the Gentile church is active now. So this is a little bit of time. Paul has had his conversion. So this is a little bit of time after the church had started. So there's been like some events that have taken place. It's not just the next day after Pentecost. This is a ways down the road. And it says that he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And James was like a major leader in Jerusalem church. And so what happened here is like one of the major leaders was martyred for Christ. Then it says that because Herod said, "Oh man, they liked it when I did that. Let's grab Peter and let's get Peter now." And so he grabs Peter, puts him in prison. And he does this during the Passover time. This is the same time that Jesus went to the Sanhedrin and Pharisees and stood before them, and then before Pontius Pilate, and he was crucified. So it's like the same season that Peter's now being arrested. So Peter must be thinking, "Must be my time," you know, because they don't just, you know, throw him in a jail cell, you know, and kind of off in the corner. No, he's. Can I have a couple of guys up here? I want to illustrate this properly. He's guarded by four squads of guards. And it's basically four squads of four. There you go. And so what happens is that two of those guards, come here, guys. You're going to stand right here. You're going to stand right here. Now, we're going to pretend that we're chained. you're chained to me like this, and you're chained to me like this. And notice, I can't move my hands, right? But these guys, yeah, they got their hands. So these guards, if I start getting unruly, which Peter, of course, didn't get unruly. But this is the situation that he was in. He was chained between two guards. They weren't just like in his room. I mean, he was literally chained between them. And so, you know, they were in close quarters. Then just outside the gates, two more guards. And so for 6-hour periods, each watch, they would come in, rechain two new guys to him. So they didn't want him to go anywhere. Thank you, guys. You did a great job. Give him a hand. Thanks. Use them every time. So here we have Peter. He is, for lack of a better term, bound. He's chained up. He's imprisoned. He's all the things that I think we're experiencing as people of God. Because I tell you, I feel sometimes like I can't really do what is in my heart to do. I can't really be who I feel God's calling me to be. I get little glimpses and little steps along the way, but it's like there's still these chains that are on me. And some of the chains are just bad ideas and bad ways of thinking and old habits and old patterns, and I can't get free from them. And now, I'm not saying Peter was in this exact same state, but I'm trying to get you to understand that the state that Peter was in, he couldn't move. He was stuck. The gospel was, as far as Peter was concerned, in his life, was being on hold, except maybe for him talking to those guards that were with him. He could not go anywhere. And I feel that that's kind of the way the church, at least in the United States, is that we're not really moving like God wants us to move. We're not really advancing like he wants us to advance. We're stuck. Now, every now and then, it's like maybe someone comes and hooks one of the guards and we get a little bit of freedom, but it's nothing like God has in mind for us. I mean, that description of life and life abundantly, that sounds so much more than what, and you could say, well, you're just not thankful, Pastor Mike, about where you're at. Well, I mean, there is being content where we're at, but I'm just telling you, I believe in God. There's so much more than what we touch and what we taste. And it hurts God that can you imagine if you were a parent and you had a child and you knew all the potential that they had, but then they just go and waste and squander it, or because of circumstances and situations, they literally are bound by life and they can't become what you know is inside of them. Can you imagine how much God feels about us? Because that's the way it is. Now, he's rooting us on. But he also is, I think, saying, there's so much more, you guys. There's so much more to this life. I mean, you can hear it in Jesus' voice with the disciples so many times when they thought they had everything understood and everything figured out. And he's like, guys, don't you get it? I mean, I've been with you. I mean, and he's trying to communicate to them, you know, the possibilities and the potential in God if they would just open their eyes, if their hearts would just be opened. Now, granted, when the Holy Spirit came, those same disciples did rock the world. But folks, we're not where we need to be. We're so far from it. Some of you are saying, well, Pastor Mike, that's judgmental. No, it's just reality. It's reality. There is a place for us in God that where we are not worried about everybody else around us. We're serving the King out of love and out of total affection. And it's not a drudgery, and it's not a chore. It's a joy. It's a joy. It's what drove Paul. It's what drove the disciples. And you know, just coming to church on Sunday doesn't do it. And even going to Bible studies, just reading your word doesn't do it. It has to be something that God literally does inside of us, supernatural. We can't do it ourselves. Peter could not get out of that situation himself. He needed help. And get this. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. See, that's what's happening in the body of Christ. There's a constant prayer that's starting to go up. There's a cry that I believe that's in our hearts that we're not satisfied. And others in other nations are praying for this nation, and there's a prayer that's going up before God. And it is an incense to God, and it is causing Him to move on our behalf. Just as those prayers that were going up at that time were causing God to make something happen. It says, and when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping. I think this is interesting. He was sleeping. Probably was just a time for him to go to sleep. And can you imagine trying to sleep with your hands in chains? And probably wasn't very comfortable. It was probably, you know, I mean, you try to roll over and the guard pulls your arm. You know, it's. I mean, you think about that. It probably looks like this. Picture this. Now picture us. We're in an uncomfortable way. We're not where we want to be. But we're sleeping. It's like we've fallen asleep. It's like we've taken, you know, some sleeping pills of the devil, and we're in a lulled state, and we're just going through life, chained and asleep. Are you guys getting the picture? Peter is bound between two people, chained. These guards, these soldiers that probably, you know, could handle themselves pretty well. And he's sleeping, and God comes in. See, that's what's happening. In this day, God's coming into our lives. He's invading our lives. He's coming into our prison cell, and he's revealing himself. Listen what this angel does. Angel just doesn't come in and just grab him and go. There's very powerful descriptions in this. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. And it says a light shone in the prison. Again, that shone, that's a radiating beams were coming out. This was a glorious scene. Now, I don't know if these guards were awake. I don't know if they were part of the program, or if they were just asleep and the angel's just going to let them wake up and go, oh my goodness. But whatever it was, Peter continued to stay asleep. Oh, thank you. Hopefully I'll find my spot later. Peter was still asleep when all this glory was going on. Let that sink in. There's been displays of God's glory, and you know, and in our country and other places of the world, but it's still like we're asleep. It's still like it hasn't caught on. It's still like it hasn't snapped yet. I mean, I talk to men all the time. I'm sure, you know, I don't get to talk to as much women, but I'm sure hearing their hearts, I mean, they feel that they need to change. They feel that they need to become really who God's called them to be, but something's holding them back. And I mean, these are fervent, on fire people, but it's still like there's something that's got them. Even though God's glory is starting to be revealed all around us. The chains. It's the chains of tradition and the chains of fear of the future. We just can't get past them. Kind of like the holding of the past, and can we really live for God future? And it holds us captive. And it says, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side. Now I think this is interesting. Just tap his foot. He struck Peter on the side. That maybe hurt. Didn't say that he tapped him on. He struck him on the side. And I believe that that's kind of what the Lord's been doing in some of our lives. He's been kind of hitting us on the side. It hasn't felt comfortable, but he's trying to wake us up. He's trying to get us to see the hour that we live in. That it's a moment in time that will never happen again, and hasn't happened yet. We could say, well, you know, we're just having another revival like the past. No, we're not. This is an end times awakening that God is doing to His people. Our hearts and our minds are being aligned with the kingdom of God. beyond our own ability, beyond our own experiences, beyond our own, you know, training or education or skill set. He's aligning us with the kingdom of God. But there's still more to be done. There's still, I guess, the voice of Him telling us to rise up. Rise up. I think that's what He's saying, the Spirit is saying in these days. Rise up, church. Rise up, become who I've called you to be. Look around. My kingdom is active. My glory is displayed. Deliverance is here. Can you imagine if Peter would have just said, I kind of like it here. You know, out there preaching and stuff, it's, you know, I got to walk all over the place. You know, I'm kind of happy here right now. But some of us kind of do that. It's safe here, believe it or not, between the, who's going to get me? I know it sounds almost impossible to picture Peter thinking that way, but we think that way. I don't want to move from this spot. This is my place on Sunday. If I get out of this, someone else might take it if I go up to the front and try to, you know, I mean, we have these mindsets and these chains that keep us from advancing. We are not meant to retreat. A Christian's job is not to retreat. A Christian's job is to advance. I mean, Jesus did not say, go and hide in Jerusalem and someday I'll come get you. He did not tell His disciples that, did He? He said, go and wait for power, but when you have power, you now take the power everywhere, to the utter parts of the earth. Start in your hometown, but then work out. It was not a gospel of retreat. It's a gospel of advance. It's a gospel of taking, of subduing, and breaking down strongholds and walls and barriers. They don't hold us back in Christ. The kingdom of darkness will not prevail against us. Remember, when we realize that Jesus, the revelation, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that Jesus says, Peter, you got it. And upon that revelation that I am that, the church will be built. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, it will not be overtaken by the gates of hell. And then He said, you're going to have the keys that are necessary to do what I need you to do. How many of you have been struck by the Lord recently? Poked in the side. Awakened from your slumber. Some of us only to say, not right now. When God wants to do something so great and so marvelous in our sight, that we will be astounded by what He does in these vessels, earthen vessels, with the divine treasure in them. Arise quickly. I think that's another thing the Spirit's saying to us. Quickly. Be activated quickly. Don't just say, well, you know, in 5 or 6 years after I get my degree, or 5 or 6 years after, you know, I retire and I have some time, or maybe 10 years. No, quickly. The Spirit's saying quickly. These are times to move quickly, to do things, to respond fast to God. Not to just say, well, I've got plenty of time. It's a quick type of environment that we're in. How many else will agree with that? Do you sense that in your spirit? The urgency, the desperation of the times, the perilous times that we're moving into. Another earthquake today, 7.3 in Turkey. You know, what's that? I don't know how many that makes this year, over the sevens. Earthquakes are going to come in greater magnitude and closer together. Birth pangs, it's going to happen. But perilous times are going to come stronger. I was talking to somebody yesterday out at the chili feed, and he was just saying, it's dangerous out here. I told him, you need to pray. I said, you need to, because he was a Christian, you need to believe God that he's going to protect you through this, that you're going to help God's kingdom advance, even in this perilous times. It's not a time to go and get into our houses and close the door and lock and bolt it so that nobody comes and gets us. No, it's a time to open them up and say, kingdom of God that's inside of me, let it be revealed to those who need to hear in this day. Awakening. We need to be awoken. We need to have our sleep in our eyes rubbed out by the Holy Spirit. We need to have clear vision where we know what God wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. Get this. After he tells him this, his chains fall off. His chains fall off. Once we get the order, and once we start moving in what God's... I believe chains are going to fall off our lives. Yes, transformed are great, and yes, encounters have been great, and they have been life-transforming for me. But I believe as we move in the things of God, chains are going to fall off of our lives. The power of the enemy is not going to be able to hold us. That the addictions and the fears and the wrong ambitions and all the mindsets that kept us from being who God called us to be are going to fall off as we advance to where he wants us to go. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself. Gird yourself. This is like cinch up your belt. He's like telling Peter, we're getting out of here. You get prepared. Gird yourself. I remember this same scripture being spoken to me years ago when I was trying to decide to make a move or not make a move. And my wife and I had fasted so many days. I think it was close to 40. We were just really wanting to hear from the Lord. It was like towards the end of that. And the Lord spoke to me. And he basically told me this, gird yourself. And I recalled in Job, where Job is spoken to by God, right when he comes on the scene, he says, gird up your loins like a man. So basically he was saying, Job, quit whining, quit crying. You know what to do. You knew what to do. You keep following what the truth is, and then listen to me. And then he goes and explains to Job how he's created everything, and could he do it? That's kind of what I felt in my heart when I got that from the Lord. Gird up your loins. In other words, it's like, okay, Peter, it's time. No more laying it down. No more sleeping. It's time to move out again. And I'll tell you what. Peter thought this was a dream. I think this is a dream, folks. I really do. I say, God, is this real? Are you really going to do this now? I mean, I think what's going to happen is once we're going to be at a certain point, the dust is going to clear. We realize God took us to where we really wanted to be. And it's almost like we're going to see things happen. And it's going to seem, is this real? I mean, we're going to be questioning things until a certain time when we're going to know where we've advanced to. Ooh, that's good. Thank you, Lord. And tie your sandals. I think this is interesting. He says that. What do sandals represent? The gospel. The gospel of peace, going and preaching. We have to have our feet shod with the gospel of peace. We have to have our shoes of the gospel of peace on, the gospel of the kingdom. We have to be able to communicate the truths of what Jesus Christ has done for the world. And when we do that, what comes next? It says, and then put your cloak on, a garment that went around him. You know, he's talking about Peter's authority there. He's talking about our authority. See, we're coming into a day where it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by his Spirit. But what he is doing is, he's doing something supernatural inside of us where we're awakening out of our sleep because he's hit us, he's gotten involved in our business, he's getting involved in our lives, and he's making it a little bit uncomfortable, but because of it, he's catching us. He's captivating us once again, and we're looking at him, the author of our finishing our faith, and he's saying, you know what, rise up, my child, rise up, rise up, rise up quickly, the hour is urgent, I need you, it's time to come out of the closet, so to speak, and be who I've called you to be. No more closet Christians. Good. I'm talking about heralds on street corners. I'm talking about people who walk up truly in supermarkets and start praying for people. Not because you watched it on some video, but because it's who you are. You've arisen. You've woken up into the calling for the day that we live. And some of us, he's telling us to cinch our belts. All of us, he is, really. He's telling us to put our sandals on. He's telling us to put a garment on. He's telling, follow me. He's not doing all this so that we go out and we become something great on our own. Those days are gone. The days of people taking the glory away from God are gone. This is going to be his stage. He's going to be center. He's going to get the accolades. He's going to get the applause. And he's going to put it in our hearts that that's what we want. We don't want it ourselves. We want him to be glorified. Because if he's glorified, men will be drawn to him. So Peter went and followed him. And he did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. That's what I'm talking about. It's like I've seen God start to do things in people's life. I'm going, is this real, Lord? Are you really, you're moving like this today? And it seems almost like a dream. But it continues to happen and continues to happen. So I don't know when I'm finally going to wake up and say, okay, we are here. It's no longer just like a prophecy of something coming. No, we're here. This is the day. I believe that's what we stepped into. I think that's what the Holy Spirit wants to tell us today, is to have confidence, have faith that, yes, I am doing something in your life today, not tomorrow, and not going to do it in a month. I'm doing it today. And all we have to say is, Lord, I want it done. I'll follow you. Wherever you go, wherever you lead. And you know what he's going to do? When you say that, miracles are going to happen. Because they went through gates. They walked by guards that were standing there, and they didn't know that they were leaving. I believe we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles that literally are going to astound us, but also shake the world. Can you believe for that? If Jesus said greater things are you going to do, because, you know, I go to the Father, you're going to do greater things than me, greater signs and wonders than I've done. He raised the dead. He cleansed lepers. He did many things that we would consider impossible when you looked at their medical condition. And Jesus said, greater are you going to do. And that doesn't mean greater Pastor Mike. I could go one by one and name each of you in this room. That means you. Greater works than Jesus are you going to do. It doesn't matter what age you are. I was reading today. I've got to tell you this because there's been something burning in my heart for our children. I believe that what we're going to see in moderation, they're going to live in excess. And one time that really bothered me because I said, no, Lord, I want it all. But if they get it to the place where they literally are transformers of their environment when they step into a room, then I'll be happy to know that I played a part in that. But I see our children doing things that you guys would say, well, that's impossible. Not impossible with God, where they literally are on fire for God, where they're fasting and they're praying. Oh, they little kids can't do that. Wrong. The Great Awakening. It was noted that the most affected were the children. They had their own fasting and prayer meetings. So don't say it can't be done. It's already been done. And it's coming. So you better start getting ready to hear the powerful words of God that are going to come out of your children. Because God will use the babes to perfect praise on the earth. He will allow those tender hearts that have not been corrupted by the world and corrupted by man's ways and religious schemes and plans to bring his glory on the earth. And don't be, you know, dismayed and disheartened because it happened. Rejoice! Because if your house has a little one that's chasing after God, you can grab hold of their tail. You're like, oh, this isn't right, Pastor Mike. Who cares? If God wants to do something in our kids that goes above and beyond all we could ask or think, let him do it. And there's precedence for it. There's countries in the world where literally the meetings are ran by the teenagers and the children because they got God. They're not doing it just, you know, oh, because, you know, my dad told me to. No, they're doing it because the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding them. They're seeking God. So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was, did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them on its own accord. And they went out and went down one street. I believe there's going to be doors that open up for us that represent people's liberty in Christ, represents demonic oppression leaving, that represents going into new territories and venues that are going to open up for us. We're not going to have to sit there and kick them in. Because God's going to divinely open up opportunities. I'm telling you, if you will just start talking to people, you don't even have to go up there and start preaching them. Just start talking to them. I believe they're going to see God in you. I believe they're going to see the hope of glory. They're going to start asking questions. They're going to start wondering, can you help me? You would not believe how many people there were sincere yesterday about getting help. I don't think... as many people just want to stay the way that they are anymore. God's bringing them from the highways and the byways, and the Holy Spirit is convicting them that they need to change. Now, they're not going to be all fancy and come to like religious meetings, like, but their hearts are going to be pure to God, and they're going to be used by Him for His glory where they're at. We're not going to take them and convert them to something so that they can fit into a mold that we have. No, God's going to use them where they're at. For His glory. He's going to allow them to raise a hand out to someone and sickness and disease will leave. And yeah, maybe they weren't in church on Sunday, but God's going to be working in them. See, we have to get beyond bad thinking. I'm just going to call it what it is. That God has to have us in a church pew or a church seat to be able to use anybody. That's ridiculous. But that's what we've come up with. That it has to be our system or it's not real. That's bogus. God can do whatever He wants to, and He loves all. And whoever comes to Him and says, I want to be used by you, doesn't matter what they've done in their past or what we think about them, God will use them. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent His angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. See, that day is coming where we're going to all of a sudden go, whoa, look what God has done. And we're going to go start telling some that have been praying for us. And they're not even going to believe what's been done. They're not going to believe the testimony that's happened in our life. The deliverance that has come. Do you realize the kind of deliverance that just took place there? Chains fell off. Guards remained asleep. Walking through gates. Walking past multiple guards. And then it finally out into the street where he goes, wow, I'm going to go check out what the disciples are doing with the rest of them. Goes and knocks at the door. And Rhoda. I should have looked up that word Rhoda, but I bet that might even have a truth in it. If you guys, Bible scholars, check and see what her name means. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she didn't even open the gate. Peter's like standing there, hey, I'm here. I don't know if he's saying, your prayers were answered. You know, she's like, oh, and you ran and said, Peter's here. No, he's not. There's no way. Maybe that's what we're doing somewhat now when we see God do great things. There's no way that can happen. That goes beyond my old past thinking. I can't believe that. Yeah, we were praying for Peter, you know, maybe that he wouldn't get killed and he might get released. But in the middle of the night, he's showing up during our prayer meeting. I believe we're going to start seeing things where literally we're going to start telling each other, no, are you serious? Those would be glorious times, folks. When we start telling each other the great things that God's doing in our lives during the week, that we don't gather together on Sunday so that we can get our spiritual fix. We gather together so we can say, Jesus did this. He's alive. And he's working in my life. And Sundays aren't some ritual that we get together so that we can, you know, again, check off our to-do God list. It's literally life-giving, where we come and others hear what God is doing in the streets, in our lives personally. That's why testimonies in this day are going to be so critical. You have got to be prepared when God does good something great for you to share it. Because we're going to release each other into the greater things of God by hearing the testimonies of what he's doing among us. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them, I can't want to say monitoring, motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. He left. He moved out that night into ministry. He didn't say, "Oh, well, let's have some food." And I mean, he was activated again. And so many of us think that we have to have an just appointed time and, you know, all the conditions have to be just right to minister. Why do we think this? Because it's what we've been taught. Just be led by the Spirit. Be communicating to the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. You'll be amazed at what he'll open up for you. Go to places that you wouldn't normally go. Maybe shop another store. Do something different to break your routine. Because it's our routine that keeps us religious. It's our routine that keeps us chained. If we'll break out of our routine doing things differently, I believe we're going to see more and more of God's provision, grace, and mercy to let us truly be who he's called us to be. Would you stand? Thank you, Lord. Lord, we need you. We rely on you, Lord. As we sing that song, we rely on you, Lord. Lord, even as I've shared, Lord, none of us can just take this and just say, "I'm going to go make this happen." God, it has to be you. You have to do it in us. So, Lord, we yield and we surrender. Help us to break out of our molds. Help us to break out of our traditions. Help us to stop chasing our tail. Help us to look to you, Lord. Wake us up. Holy Spirit, poke us in the side if necessary this morning to awaken us, to catch our attention. Help us, Lord, to rise up this day. Help us, Lord, to shake off and rub out of our eyes the sleep and see your glory all around. See your power of your Spirit that's waiting to be activated in our lives. Help us, Lord, to prepare ourselves any way we need to. Empower us, Holy Spirit, to spiritually gird up our loins, to spiritually put on our garments and our shoes of gospel of peace. Help us to do those things, Lord, that are the basic preparations, Lord, for you to use us. Let your miracle working power have its way in us, Lord. Let us not be caught napping, Lord, and letting the enemy come in and steal, kill, and destroy what you want to do. Awaken us, Lord. Awaken us. Let this be the greatest awakening of ever. Lord, let it be the awakening of awakenings, God, where we don't have to go to sleep anymore, Lord. We usher in the full kingdom of God. I pray for every hearer of this word, Lord. God, that you would encourage their hearts. Lord, that you would help them to move out of the trappings of life into your glorious plan. Let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, Lord. Let light, illumination come to their sight, Lord, so they see you working and doing great things in their life. We surrender, we yield, Lord. We cannot do this on our own. With you, we can do all things, though. I pray for those, Lord, that are hurting. And say, I can't advance because I'm so wounded. Lord, that you'd help them to see for a moment that if they'll step out, that the wound will be healed. That their heart will be revived, Lord. And they'll once again have the strength, Lord, to serve you. Help us to go from licking our wounds, Lord, to lighting the way for others. Give us hearts that are hungry for you, Lord. For those who hear this and just say, I'm just not there, Lord, let their heart be just wakened to you right now. Holy Spirit, breathe afresh on them. Life and life abundantly, I speak in Jesus' name. We want you to be glorified. We want you to be magnified. We want your name to be great, Lord, in our lives. We don't want the credit, God. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the credit. But we do want to be part of the game. We want to be in our position and used by you in this day. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, most powerful name. In heaven and on earth, we pray. We declare your will be done, your kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Praise the Lord. So go and be activated, be awakened to the things of God.